Major David Katz. Good morning. Welcome back. How are you?
I'm glad I'm here for Marketing Mondays.
Did I say marketing Mondays. When I meant military?
But we can do marketing.
Yeah, you know what you're marketing. So I tell you why. You remind me of Dina Diamond. That's
thank
why.
Thank you for marketing, Justin Bieber.
I that see the resemblance.
Right, exactly.
I really enjoyed that.
All right. So Military Mondays. You know what? It's your fault because you've been away for how many weeks?
Goodness.
He's like never here.
He's never
he's
here.
He's always got something better to do.
Absent without leave.
Exactly.
I apologize.
Exactly.
Anyway, I'm back, hail and hearty. Yes.
Right. Hail and hearty.
Hail and hearty.
Okay, hearty and hail. So you went on a writing retreat, didn't you?
Yes, I did. I went away for a couple of weeks just to get my mind together to write a bit. I've got a conference coming up on the 120th anniversary of the Boer War, so I'm going to be delivering a paper there.
Sounds fascinating.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah.
Sorry. Sorry, I didn't mean to have to sound as facetiously as I thought it was meant to sound. So there we go. So how many people attend the 120th
anniversary of
life?
I'm being so rude. I'm being so rude. It's like going to an actuarial conference.
Well, one thing you can be certain of, there won't be any veterans attending.
All right, so that aside, it has been a very busy weekend militarily. Saudi Arabia literally exploding. What on earth is going on?
Yeah, what are we to make of it? I think we wake up this morning in a different world to when we went to sleep on Friday. Definitely, this is a paradigm shift.
So that's interesting that you say that, because the news is reporting it, but not with the significance that you've just said. In other words, it's going to affect oil prices and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. But we're kind of used to all that stuff going on in the Middle East. Why is this a paradigm shift?
Well, this is...
And what are we talking about exactly?
Okay, first of all, this is a drone attack, supposedly. Mm-hmm. I mean, the jury isn't out on that one yet. There's talk that it could be cruise missiles from Iran. There's all those type of rumors going around. But if there's any truth in it, it was a drone attack by 10 drones from the Houthi in Yemen. Mm-hmm. And that would mean that these drones would have to fly 1,500 kilometers to reach its target. And the significant part about this whole thing is that it's in the hands of a non-state entity. I think that's what's important here, is that a non-state entity has managed to get its hands on a piece of equipment that is very, very sophisticated. They can travel 1,500 kilometers, use GPS coordinates to pinpoint a strategic target, a national key point in Saudi Arabia, 1,500 kilometers away, and destroy 50% of Saudi Arabian oil output, which is 5% of the world output. I mean, that is hugely significant.
But this kind of equipment, it can't just be about acquiring it. I mean, surely it's got to be, you've got to be able to operate it. You know, if somebody gave me a drone and said, just operate this and go and blow something up, I'm not sure I would know where to start.
Yeah, certainly we've spoken about this before, that I don't know how much expertise it takes when we talk about it. I mean, if we take an off-the-shelf drone that you can buy in one of the shops,
right,
it doesn't take much to operate it. Obviously, this would take a bit more expertise to operate it over 1,500 kilometers, and it's surely a sophisticated thing. But we're not too far away from the stage where these things can operate at the push of a button, and you don't really need that a lot of expertise to do it. But certainly, was this sophisticated? It must have been. I mean, to get it that amount of distance, it would have had to have long-range transmitters to get it there, a decent motor to move it. So this is not a piece of equipment that can be built by anybody. In fact, this may have been used before on an attack at an airport in Abu Dhabi. I've got the date over here. On the 26th of July 2018,
right,
not well reported, there was an attack by one of these Houthi drones, which they call a Summit 3, and it blew up two trucks at the airport. So that wasn't very well reported. So this is, there's definitely been a shift.
So what does this shift mean? What do you think, how does it change the balance of power in the area, if it does?
Well, let's have a look at it. Saudi Arabia has the third highest defense expenditure in the world.
Right.
That's after the United States and China and Russia. So it's right up there. It spends 8.8% of its GDP on military equipment. And yet, it's with all that money spent, It was unable, and I think that is significant, it was unable to protect one of its national key
That's
points. Now, if you think about it, Howard,
mm-hmm.
what are the national key points in Saudi Arabia? I mean, what is at risk in Saudi Arabia? It's obviously the oil fields. There isn't much else
I mean, that's
there.
that's their livelihood.
That's their livelihood. So you would have thought that they would have put their efforts and their expenditure into securing their national assets, their national key point, and they were unable to do so. So that is very significant. So there's obviously, I mean, these drones now can be armed with a number of different things. It doesn't have to be high explosives. It could be some type of bacterial warfare. It could be some type of a chemical warhead that goes onto it. Depleted uranium for a dirty uranium bomb, a dirty nuclear bomb. It could be any type of thing that you can clip onto these drones, deliver them 1,500 kilometers away. So that's where we are now. And it doesn't look like there's any reasonable defense against these type of weapons. Although a lot of them have been brought down in various attacks, these ones got through. Sending 10 of them over, maybe they sent a hell of a lot more. So using swarming tactics once again, they managed to overwhelm what defenses there were. So that's highly, highly significant.
And, I mean, the US are making it quite clear that they're holding Iran responsible for this.
I think that may be an oversimplification. So, I mean, surely the Houthis are a proxy, a proxy army for the Iranians. But whether we can just draw a simplified nexus straight back to Iran and blame them, I think what the Americans are trying to say is that these attacks didn't emanate from the Houthis. They most probably came, from the Iranians. And they are questioning the fact that it could be, that it could be cruise missiles instead of drones. That's the type of thing floating around at the moment. But it looks like drones coming from the Houthis.
If we look at the conversation that you and I have had around the oil tankers, there's definitely a focus on this type of warfare over oil. Because we've seen, so to me it is a bit logical, because we've seen the Iranians capturing these vessels.
Yes,
we've seen
yes.
that's been the Iranian strategy. We've seen a shift.
Yes.
And now we're seeing an attack on an oil field. To me, that's an extension of the same conflict.
It is an extension of the same type of thing. And also it goes back to asymmetrical war. The Iranians are no match for the Americans in a conventional war. And they know that. So they are going to use whatever means they can to fight a war that they can win. And one of the ways of winning this war is to cause economic chaos in the region. And I mean, this is a perfect example of using a cheap technology, and really a cheap technology that can cost the West billions and billions of dollars, just by sending over a couple of drones. It's a pretty frightening prospect. And it levels the playing field. It's more or less playing the man and not the game anymore. And that's the strategy behind it. And people have to wake up with their defenses and realize that this is the new paradigm. And we have to get some countermeasures against
it. And also, I think what does make it difficult is by Iran using proxies, and assuming that is the case here.
Yes.
As you say, because the nexus isn't so clear, it makes it a little bit harder to justify a reprisal against Iran. And this has been Iran's strategy the whole way through the process. The whole way through this, any conflict that they've had over the last 10 or 15 years, they've done exactly this. Hezbollah is everybody knows is funded by Iran, but it actually isn't Iran. And so this type of thing this is no different in my view.
No, absolutely. And there's nothing new, in using proxies to fight your wars. It's been done all the time in South Africa. We did it to a large extent on the border wars where we used, proxy armies to fight the battles for us. So it's nothing new. And it's all part of a strategy of using, the best means possible at your disposal to destabilize areas. And yes, hide behind is a bit of subterfuge there, is that you can hide behind your proxy armies and say you're not really in control. And you can dissociate yourselves when you want to, or you can claim credit for it when you want to. So it's quite a way of doing things, and it certainly mixes up the whole area, and causes a lot of trouble. And it needs to be tackled. These things need to be unraveled, and it needs to be tackled.
We're going to talk, when we come back, we're going to talk about how they can be tackled and what the options are. It is 8:44. I'm Howard Feldman. This is your Morning Mayhem on 101.9 Chai FM. We're chatting to Major David Katz. He's in studio. We're talking about the drone attack on the Saudi oil field. So where to from here?
Well, the one statement that strikes me is that we are always ready for the previous war.
That's brilliant. So, that is so clever.
So we could see that in 1973, the Israelis were ready for the 67 war and they got a nasty surprise. Mm. So we're never going to fight the next war on the same basis as we fought the previous one. And unfortunately, I think that is where everybody is at the stage of the game, is that they're busy fighting a 20th century war. Mm-hmm. When we've moved, we've obviously now taken that shift and moved over to a 21st century type technology, and we need to respond to that. And what is happening is that weapons of massive destruction, I wouldn't say mass destruction yet, but weapons of massive destruction are being put in the hands of non-state entities. So that's a huge difference to what we were facing a couple of years ago. And with sophisticated technology and a GPS system available to anybody, we can now guard these missiles within a couple of meters of key areas and key national points. That is a frightening prospect.
Do you think these things, when we see this type of thing happening in the Middle East, do you think that these are test cases almost for what is to follow? I mean, during the song you said, can you imagine the thought of this type of thing being used, let's say, for an attack against the White House?
Yes.
You know,
yes,
we definitely can foresee these things happening.
Yeah, certainly. This is the beginning of the beginning. And we're definitely going to see more of this. There's absolutely no doubt in my mind. And I'm sure there's many, many experts sitting down and have sat down and thought of ways of combating it. And that's what warfare is all about, is that the two sides invent new measures to overcome the previous measures. So this is just going to be a technological war out there.
What can America do? What can the United States do, or Saudi Arabia do, without absolute proof that this was an Iranian proxy activity?
Well, I think the first thing to determine, what would be important to me, is to determine whether this was a drone strike or not. And where it emanated from.
Is there a doubt about that?
Well, the Americans are talking about cruise missiles from Iran. So there you're looking at a sophisticated piece of technology done with a state entity. If we're looking at drones coming from the Houthi, we're looking at a relatively unsophisticated, compared to cruise missiles, technology in the hands of a non-state entity. And that would be an absolute paradigm change in the nature of warfare, where entities, basically non-entities, can get their hands on this type of equipment and cause great, great damage. It's sort of the levels of destructiveness are now devolved down to the lowest type of entities out there.
And so easy. And this problem is the problem, because I mean, a drone can't be particularly expensive.
Literally off the shelf. I don't say you can go and buy a 1,500-kilometer drone off the shelf, but literally I can walk into a shop, buy a drone, and have a piece of technology that can cause great destruction with right now. That is the frightening thing about it. I mean, I remember seeing a bit of footage last year on Maduras. Was it not Maduras that stood up in a crowd and one of those drones came and exploded near him? There's a head of state being taken out by nearly being taken out by an off-the-shelf drone. So it's a frightening, frightening prospect where we stand. And it's certainly going to develop from here. This is the beginning.
Yeah. It's very, very, very frightening, because unless there is a system to combat it, this can do absolute immeasurable damage.
Already on the pure military side, convoys that are patrols that are going out there now have got more anti-aircraft equipment on them than they did before. So the ratio of anti-aircraft equipment to the other equipment that these people are carrying now are more than there was previously. And also the Americans are deploying a lot more Stinger troops to various key points to try and combat this type of thing. But again, it requires brand new technology, jamming advances, etc., etc., to a high rate of fire weaponry to bring these things down effectively.
How do you think the Saudis are going to respond? You know, we this whole conversation has been around about how the United States is responding on the assumption that this is a proxy against a proxy.
Yes.
You know, the attack on Saudi is effectively an attack on the Americans by Iran. But the Saudis aren't powerless in all of this. What do you think they are going to do? And they're a little bit perhaps less constrained by other systems than the Americans are.
Well, I certainly haven't seen constraint on their part in Yemen. I mean, they've been fighting a war there, and they've reached stalemate by using air power alone, trying to control the situation there. What worries me about Saudi Arabia is the extent of their defense budget and what they are spending on. They're obviously spending on the incorrect weaponry. They're not short of money, that's for sure. And they're not scared to spend on the latest technology out there. And they're one of the America's biggest clients in buying the most sophisticated weaponry. And yet they were unable to defend this national key point. So this is a major worry. What is their next step? Most probably to reassess exactly where they are putting their defense budget. And I suppose with all these type of things, it's different levels that you have to attack it on. You need defensive measures to defend your national key point. Then you need preemptive measures to go out there and attack the sites where these things come from. And then you need political measures to try and solve the political situation so that you're not under threat there. So it needs to be solved on many, many different levels. And certainly the Saudi Arabians are not engaging very well on the political level. I mean, their foreign policy is devoid of any nuance. I mean, they're assassinating journalists and they are fighting a war in Yemen and killing thousands of civilians, and they are certainly not making a great political progress in the area. So they need to rethink their strategy in that area, together with their military strategy. So they've got to really sit down now and see how vulnerable they are to this type of attack. And they're in a lot of trouble. And you can see that the world is reacting to this by sticking up those oil prices. It's unprecedented in the percentages of rise in the oil price, because the markets are very, very worried about this.
So how do you call it? What do you think is going to happen this week in this war?
Very difficult to call. There may be another attack just to reinforce what happened previously. That would be very, very interesting. And that would certainly shake up everybody. Or things may just go quiet and the Saudis restore the oil to the rest of the world, and we soon forget about it until the next attack somewhere else or back onto the same oil fields. Difficult to predict what's going to happen.
It's not, it's almost like this isn't exactly a test run.
Yes.
Because it did terrible damage. It did real, real damage.
Absolutely.
To the Saudis. So it's not as though they were testing this out. This is an attack.
You see, I think what's worrying here...
And we did know that the Iranians, were very clear that there was going to be a reprisal over the whole oil thing that's been going on. So
there
it
is
shouldn't be a surprise.
It comes as a surprise, the extent and the fact that these people were
the
able to succeed.
In inverted
the success,
commas.
Absolutely. And I think what's worrying about this whole situation is that it shows other people out there, other nefarious elements, about what is possible. Does it not show what is possible? If this is a drone attack from 1,500 kilometers away in the hands of a rebel movement, shows these people exactly what they can do. This can be mimicked quite easily. So it's just opening up vistas that never existed before.
Very, very frightening for absolutely every single country around the world.
I believe that, yes. I believe that. And not
this is
easy
why
to
you
defend
started, And this is why I'm assuming you started the conversation by saying we're waking up on a Monday morning in a very different place to where we were on Friday. And interestingly enough, it isn't perceived as that. It's just perceived as another attack in that strange conflict that nobody understands.
Yes.
But actually, it's got tremendous, tremendous significance.
I think it has huge repercussions. And I really believe that this is the beginning, unfortunately, and I see more of this happening. Certainly attempts to do damage the way that this has been done. And I foresee a lot of problems. And I don't think this is going to solve itself overnight. There's no doubt about it. This has opened up new military opportunities for the wrong elements to get hold of. And certainly it's put us in a lot more danger than we were a couple of months back.
Absolutely. Time is 9:00. I'm Howard Feldman. This has been your Morning Mayhem, 101.9 Chai FM. Major David Katz, thank you. As always, fascinating, fascinating conversation. We'll be back with you tomorrow morning, 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. Don't be late. It is Monday. Go and have yourself a fantastic week. Here's your news headlines, followed by the news with Lindy.